Welcome back to another episode of the Mac Rumor Show. If you missed last week's episode, well, obviously
you're still stuck in the bathroom.
I was going to say, Hartley thought I was in a bathroom. I am in a WeWork bathroom, and the weather is still very windy. Hartley, I'm guessing the weather is still the same for you too.
Yeah, it hasn't dramatically changed in the last 30 minutes.
We wanted to record two in 1 week just because we have some scheduling issues. So we didn't want to leave you high and dry for this week. So we're just anything. We wanted to just get you something quick that you guys can listen to. And honestly, we have a lot to say about iOS 27 and the public beta is out. So we can kind of give you some thoughts and opinions on it. We do need to preface all of this by, of course, saying this is a beta. Features can change, opinions can change, lots can change. But I have a generally positive experience going on so far with this entire beta for 27 across the board. Honestly, I think everything has been pretty stable. I'm even running it on this machine right now for my Mac here. I've just had a really pleasant time. So just overall, Hartley, has things been running as smoothly for you as it has been for me?
Yeah, I think it's outstanding. I think it's the most stable, performance-focused beta that Apple have put out for years, probably since maybe iOS 8. And even then, I question, maybe this is even better. This might be their best beta ever. I think it's the first time when I've been able to confidently say to people I know, if you want to go onto the public beta, if you understand that there are risks, at least in terms of my own personal experience, this is the first time when I am happy to endorse that. Because it is so stable. It actually, I think it runs better than iOS 26. So, I mean, there's really not much I can say about it that's negative just in terms of it being a beta. And if it gets even more stable and it performs even better when it actually gets finally released, I think that alone makes for a fantastic upgrade.
Well, one of the biggest things that Apple is focusing on with these updates, and we've talked about it in the past, is like, you know, this was, you know, especially for macOS, they like to say this is the snow leopard of releases, and there's not a lot of new flashy features, but it's a lot of refinements and bug fixes and just working on the stuff that matters. And Apple touted that as like a section in WWDC where it's like, look at this word wall of updates that we got. In terms of, you know, how things are moving along, the efficiency, the performance across the board for things like AirDrop, for example, was one of them. And just the way, you know, your phone, your Mac, your tablet, all of it just kind of operates on a daily basis. Have you noticed a lot of those things? Or just have you just noticed that things are running faster? Like you said it was better than 26. So I'm guessing the answer is yes.
Yes, definitely. Without question, and in pretty much all areas, in fact, ways that have really surprised me, even just opening apps, everything just feels so much more reliable. I feel like there were so many little ingrained bugs and things that slowed down in iOS 26. And in large part, you know, that was to do with Liquid Glass. It was a huge system-wide overhaul. It's inevitable that there are things that would need some extra polish in there. And we've got that. It's exactly what we expected right back when we were beta testing iOS 26.
I will say
itself is massively better.
Yeah. I will say that, I think you said this earlier, or if not, I'm dreaming, but I recommend as well, if you want to try this public beta out, you can put it on your main device and you'll be fine. However, it's not perfect, and there are some weird things that now happen. That's just what beta life is. I don't know if you have this experience, but every once in a while, the like messages app will just be completely frozen, and I need to close it like six different times and reopen it again before it stops freezing on a conversation. I don't know why that keeps happening. I have not upgraded to beta 4 yet, so I'm hoping that gets fixed. But I mean, there's going to be a little bit of stuff here and there, but overall, it works really, really well. Siri, we've talked about it a lot. Let's just do like a couple minutes on it. Has it changed the way you use your iPhone at all now and the way you've used Siri in the past? I think it has for me personally. I went from never using Siri to using Siri quite a bit. That's a big change for me.
I agree. I'm exactly in the same boat. So I now am very used to going up to Dynamic Island and the center top of the display and activating Siri from Spotlight up there and just throwing in simple inquiries. And it does a fantastic job. And I will even sometimes go to the Siri app to continue those conversations, exactly like Apple showed. And I've been very happy with my ability to do that. The other thing that has stood out to me is the personal context. Now, I haven't asked it any kind of crazy things yet, going right back to the demos we saw in 2024. But I have asked it things that I've not been able to remember from messages, like what day did I agree I was going to meet someone and where, or did I get a confirmation code for message for something? And it's able to surface those things so effortlessly that does feel unique. And I can't do that with any of my other AI services.
Yeah. I mean, I think I've said this before on Pocket, like it just is so much better, obviously, to do those kinds of things than it is to just use it like you would with Claude or ChatGPT. I just use it in a different way. I want to not have to look through my emails and my messages for certain things. And that's where a lot of my like more centralized focus is for automation when it comes to those kinds of tasks. I would much rather let my phone take over and do that for me, find me when I was supposed to meet with them and add it to my calendar because I forgot to do that. Like that's the kind of stuff that I really need more of. And I'm glad that Siri can actually do that now. I don't know why it's taken this long, but I'm happy that it's here and it's only going to get better, presumably. So that's always nice.
Have you tried the new enhanced voice?
Yeah.
What do you make
like
of that?
Changing around the expressivity. Yes. I can't say that word. Expressivity and the different like pace. So the pace is whatever. I mean, if you're just somebody who wants it to go borderline 2x rate because it's too slow for you, fine. But I feel like what's the point of then changing how expressive it is if you're going to make it talk really fast? So like I kind of just keep things maybe one past the middle. Like I want a little bit more speed, but I also want a little bit more of that like human element to it. Because the more you change the expression, you know, the more human it becomes. It takes pauses and it, you know, it has different inflections in its tone. I like that. It makes me feel like I'm not going crazy and actually talking to a person rather than, you know, talking to a robot or just an algorithm, I guess. So I do like it. It works fine.
I kind of did the opposite, actually. I reduced expressivity.
You went full robotic. Okay.
But that's just, I think it's actually a pretty good feature because everyone does want something slightly different. Some people want their AI to sound more human. Other people, it kind of freaks them out and they actually want it to sound more robotic. And I think that this feature is a recognition of that.
Yeah, I mean, I could go either way. I think I just prefer, you know, someone to be a little more pep in their step. If you're going to help me do my stuff, I don't know. Like have you used Grok in a Tesla before or have you been around someone that's got one that can use it? It's kind of wild. Like the tones and the expressivity in those models for Grok, like you can change through a bunch of different settings for that. And recently I've asked it a bunch of questions. It's super useful. So like I kind of can't wait to see how good and like just more advanced that becomes in the car with people who are using Siri and CarPlay. I don't have CarPlay anymore, so I haven't really used it for that, but I can imagine it's getting more helpful.
So I do use it in my car, and that has definitely been one of the use cases where it's been much more useful because I feel I can now confidently take action with Siri much better than I could. I mean, does it get it right every time? No, it does not. Definitely not, in fact. But it's just so much better than it was. And what I would say is, if, I don't know, other AI models are at a 10 and Siri was at a 0 as of iOS 26, I feel like we're maybe at about a 5 now.
That's 5x. Yeah.
It's a huge improvement, but it does still sometimes feel like Siri in that it's a little frustrating. Sometimes it does not quite get it, or sometimes it will tell me that it can't answer my inquiry or something went wrong and it can't answer. I still get that sometimes. I know it's a beta, but there are still some bugbears with it. One, I don't know, maybe you've been having this as well. But when I go to Spotlight, which is basically now Siri on my iPhone, and I type the name of an app, which is one of the key ways that I actually get to apps, although it has indexed everything on my device, and in general it is fantastic, it now does not seem to surface the apps I want by default. So I can type, say, maps, and it will present me with, it will show Apple Maps, but only eventually and after maybe other Maps apps I've got installed, or it will just show me something else. And that might just be a bug, it might just be part of the beta, but I do feel like getting to my apps via Spotlight feels just a little bit slower.
Say, mine's been okay. I don't know, for those who are here watching, I don't know if you can see this. This has been my thing. It brings up Maps, but then I'm guessing the other one next to it is Google Maps, and my icon's just gone for that. That has been a bug that I've been kind of dealing with. It was Google Maps. So what I've noticed, what's kind of annoying, is that like sometimes it doesn't bring it up and you have to click into like the more results thing. And I just don't love doing that. Like, I want Spotlight to still be its normal thing. And then Siri just happens to be laid over top of it. So if I start to type out Maps and then I finish that with of every country in Europe, surface that and put it in a note for me, like that is something that I would need AI for. But if I'm just looking for an app, like just give me the app up top. I shouldn't have to click into more results.
That's because it will service things like app intents first. And so sometimes I will get the settings to control an app before I will get the app. And that does annoy me a little bit, but it's comparatively quite a small problem. And in general, I probably am now using Siri for general inquiries, probably at least once a day. Which is a lot less than I would feel comfortable using Claude or ChatGPT, which are the other two AI services that I use the most, and I would have a longer conversation with. So, for example, I don't know, when I was cooking a couple of weeks ago and I wanted to time everything carefully with when I was adding different ingredients, I did not have confidence in Siri to be able to answer that question. And I got a much better answer from Claude. I did try it with Siri. It was okay, but Claude clearly understood so much more and provided a much more logically thought through response that I just had more confidence in, because ultimately it's not an actual recipe. It's just kind of coming up with stuff for me. And there have been other examples I have had similar to that, where particularly with things that involve visual intelligence, where if I wanted to dive deeper into understanding an image, maybe a set of images, like I was showing it a few days ago, a picture of a suit jacket that I own. And I was wondering if maybe it's got a little tired, it's a little too worn out. And Siri did not really seem to be able to go past the first response on that and provide me with any deeper analysis. But when I dumped those images into ChatGPT, it provided a way more detailed analytical explanation that helped me reach a conclusion, which... It's like Siri can go one layer deep, but it can't provide the kind of depth and breadth that you're able to explore, I guess would be the word I would use, with other services.
And I'm guessing that's why Apple offers the ability to have extensions and, you know, add in ChatGPT or Claude as like, if you need more, then here you go. It recognizes that it's not able to do that right now. At some point, I expect it to. And I expect those extensions to go away, or at least not be as easy to add on. I don't know how you feel, if you think that's going to be something they'll take away.
I haven't even tried those extensions.
So I don't know that they work properly yet, because there's kind of a section in settings, I believe. Let me check. And it was only Claude, and you couldn't add it was only ChatGPT, and you couldn't add anything else. But yeah, you go to extensions. It's just ChatGPT right now. But it's basically like having you sign into your account, and then you can use the extension. I also don't know how to use the extension. I don't know when and where it pops up.
I think it's because this has not fully debuted yet. There's references to it. There's kind of a button for it that sometimes appears, but it's in the beta, but it's just not accessible yet, is my understanding. But probably by the time iOS 27 launches, or in a subsequent 0.1 or 0.2 update, I imagine that will come to be a much more prominent feature.
Yeah, you even have the voice option too. If you wanted to give ChatGPT the same voice as Siri or whatever, you can do that or use its own. All right, moving on to the rest of the stuff in iOS, and not just iOS 27, because there's a lot of feature parity across the board. So like, if there's anything else that you want to touch on throughout the rest of the operating systems, let me know. But What has been your non-Siri or Apple Intelligence feature that you've really enjoyed?
I mean, Liquid Glass is so much better. I didn't know how unfinished Liquid Glass felt in iOS 26 until I used 27. The added contrast, the way that all of the menus now seem to work better and be layered better. They seem more logically organized. It feels more fluid, but also I'm appreciating how they are using transparency to not just look cool, but actually be practical. And I think they found the middle ground between those two things. I enjoy the slider. We've talked about that before. I set mine at about 75%. That's a sweet spot for me. And I like that I'm able to choose that because some people definitely do want it being more transparent and some people want it more opaque. And now you have that choice.
I've gone fully transparent, and I like the little like lock screen thing where you can pull down and it starts to reveal slowly, like the actual wallpaper. And then when you go up, it's like a cool little effect. Is that practical? No, just looks cool. But I'm glad that there are more practical use cases with it this year too. It definitely needed some refining. I was not one of those people that fully hated it when it debuted last year, and it had some issues, but I thought it was fine overall. But yeah, it's gotten so much better. I'm trying to think of, I guess I shouldn't say, maybe not Siri related, but if there's any other like Apple Intelligence based feature that you're using, because there are a lot. That's kind of what the only main things that we really got this year. If it's not an Apple or if it's not a Siri like specific thing, it's an Apple Intelligence-esque adjacent feature. I think the shortcuts has a lot of, potential there, being able to naturally describe. It's just without developers taking this in yet, it's been kind of hard to fully do anything of use with it. I don't know if you're having the same issues.
Yeah, I mean, it's been able to do the simple requests that I've thrown at it in the Shortcuts app, but I haven't asked it to do anything particularly complicated yet. So overall, I think it's a good feature because a lot of people are intimidated by shortcuts. It makes it a lot more accessible.
I've had a couple of things that it just hasn't been able to do. There is, what was the one that I did for the video? Like, I wanted it to do something really specific, and it couldn't do it, but it ended up just basically copying my mailing address to my clipboard. Because, like, a lot of the things that I have to answer is like companies, and I have to send my address out a lot. And so I guess I could make like a keyboard shortcut thing. But I just kind of wanted some way, like, anytime I say the phrase, like, my mailing address is with this very specific thing, it would just auto-populate that, but that it's just not able to do that. So I don't really know how I need to set mine. Like, I was able to do one for my car, which was nice. Like, at certain specific moments, I wanted to set the temperature, and it can already do that, but this was a much easier way to like get it created. I didn't have to go through and add the steps one by one, which is nice. Yeah, I mean, at some point it'll get better when more developers can get in there and maybe allow more I can't talk, more automations to happen with Siri shortcuts and in general. So that was kind of nice. I don't know about the create an extension in Safari. I don't know that I found
I
anything
mean,
particularly useful there.
I have not tried that. I have tried to get it to tell me when a web page is updated, but that hasn't actually worked yet, even when the web page has updated. So I can't really judge that feature yet, because that clearly is just
Hasn't
a
worked.
beta issue.
Okay.
But going back to natural language, the natural language in calendar and reminders is a huge upgrade. That is something that has been really missing for a very long time. I remember that you were actually kind of able to do natural language in the Mac version of the calendar app for many, many years, but never on iOS, which is actually the one place where you want to just be able to put something in very quickly. So that is something I've appreciated. I've also enjoyed the call context feature. I don't know if you've tried that.
Dude, yes, it's awesome. Go ahead and explain it for those who don't know what it is.
That is that. Effectively, the device will understand who you're calling and any relevant context that is on your device. So, where I've noticed it is people's birthdays. So, if I call someone and it's their birthday, it will bring up a card as I'm calling them, that says it is this person's birthday, and we'll even do a little animation with fireworks. It looks great. But it will do this with things like flights as well. So if you call your airline, it will bring up your airline ticket for that flight with your information, and you know, your confirmation number, whatever other information you may need while you're on that call. I haven't seen it anywhere else yet. But even just those two examples, it was genuinely useful. And it even popped up on my Apple Watch. So on one of those calls, I had my phone to my ear so I couldn't see, but I could glance at my watch, which was really useful.
It worked for me when I booked a hotel for when we go down to the beach. We were stopping along the way. And I didn't do this on purpose. This wasn't to test it. I just booked a hotel. And so that email confirmation was obviously in my email. And then needed to ask the hotel a very generic question about the room. And so when I called them, it was able to recognize that I was calling a place in which I had just made a reservation for, and it just popped up the confirmation number on my screen. It's like so helpful. Such a genius way. Like, that's a good use of AI. That's the kind of stuff that we need more of. And I mean, I think we're going to get more and more of that the more Siri becomes better with your personal context and just being able to go through all that history.
Yeah, that's something that I think I wasn't expecting to appreciate as much as I have. I also will say this is actually not an iOS 27 feature, but I will mention it because I've been using it more lately since I've kind of remembered that it exists, and it is a fantastic feature, which is Hold Assist. Brilliant feature. I use it all the time now. It's genuinely useful and actually very powerful. That is also an AI-powered feature. That was just one of, I think it was last year's.
Yeah, it was last year. That was when the call screening and stuff happens too. I don't think I've ever called anyone where I was being screened. Have you?
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah, I don't think I don't make a lot of phone calls to begin with. And if I am calling, it's usually like some sort of medical office or, you know, like a bill company. Like, so they already have their own version of screening, obviously. But like, I don't think I've ever called another human that I would talk to on a regular basis, or like, you know, just a normal person that's not a company, and have been screened before. So I'm curious as to like what that's like on the other end. But that's a huge feature that was from last year that I really like. And I'm curious to see if like there's a new way that Siri and Apple Intelligence can kind of work its way into that and make it better. Because it does a good job, but I feel like there could be some other things. I don't know what, but I feel like there's more room for improvement there.
Yeah, I think this is kind of an underappreciated aspect of what Apple has been doing with calls and communication. You know, we hear a lot about a lot of the flashier features, but some of this stuff is just so practical. It's not exciting. I mean, is it really that cool that you can just see your airline confirmation number when you call an airline? It's not really that impressive, but it's just so useful. And Hold Assist has changed my life. It just has.
I think what's impressive is that it's taken this long for somebody to do this, you know, like it's not an impressive feature from a technological standpoint, I guess, but it is a pretty impressive feature that like is so simple and brilliant that I don't know why we haven't had it for a few years at least. But yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of anything else that I really enjoyed. I mean, again, I think the new photo tools are really good. Like, cleanup is so much more useful now when you need it to be. You don't think it's good. Oh, no.
I like cleanup, but sometimes it's doing too much now. It's gone from doing too little to doing too much. But the one that I'm actually, is it Extend? Is that what it's called?
Which one? Where you need to reframe. It's not reframe. Yeah,
where you can just expand the image. That generally works really well, and I have used that. The one that I am disappointed by is Reframe. Because what Reframe does, I thought that what it did was it would take the kind of spatialized photos feature that debuted on Vision Pro, and then we got in iOS last year, and then it would just kind of basically do what the Extend tool does and build out the edges and build out the empty space, but would still keep a large part of the original image. It does not do that. It completely redraws the whole image. So it is analogous to using ChatGPT and giving it a photo and saying, change the perspective of this by 20 degrees. And it And as you'll know, if you ever generate an image with ChatGPT, it does not edit the image. It generates a brand new one from scratch. And the problem I have with it is when I've used this, so I've used this, say, with a group of friends standing around, and the photo was taken from a little bit below. They were on some steps, and I wanted to kind of move the camera up to be more in line with them. And it worked well, but it changed the faces of everyone so dramatically that no one looked like who they actually are anymore. So of course I did not use that. And it's because it's recreating the image. And actually I don't think it recreated it as well as ChatGPT or Gemini does right now. Even then I just feel a bit weird about recreating the entire image from scratch, when what is so good about CleanUp and particularly with Extend is it does not do that for the whole image. And I don't know why it's changing faces so much. I just was not expecting it to do that.
I think reframe is going to be one of those features that I don't use ever. I guess it's nice if you really like, oh, I'm off by just this little bit and I really need to move it just a little bit to get something out of there. But if for my perspective,
it would work better. If you did it with a landscape, maybe that would look better. But I think
if you
that
want to
with anything
it.
With human faces and people that you know, I have not been impressed with that. In fact, I think it's one of the worst features that I have used because of just how weird and alien and kind of unnatural the people look. They do look like AI people from maybe 3 years ago.
I haven't noticed that, honestly. I think I've only used it once though, so I need to try it again. But I've used CleanUp both versions. So like there's the, obviously CleanUp, there's still the normal like quick version that we have.
Yeah, there's an on-device version that existed before. And then there is the cloud version that's more powerful.
And that's the one that can generate better and remove larger objects. And that is really good. Like it's basically up there with everyone else that does that now. So I'm glad that that exists, because just the other day, my wife needed like a new, like a quick headshot picture, you know, something real quick. And we were out in really good lighting and some guy walked in the back, and it was a pretty large, like, and it was easy to remove that than it would have been in the past. And it generated what was back there beautifully, and it worked just fine. So, and it didn't mess with her face or anything. She still looked like a normal human, not an alien. So you'd be happy to hear that. Otherwise, I have one feature that is kind of out of left field, but like super helpful. Don't know why it's taken this long to happen. Why is it that our alarm volumes were tied in with the other volume measures, and now you can go in and just like set the volume that you would have for an alarm? Does it ever happen where you like turn your volume all the way down for your ringer and everything, and then you go to set your alarm and you miss it because it didn't ring? Well, that's because your volume was down for everything. So now you can set just the alarm volume. It's something super simple, but I'm like, hey,
yeah,
I'm glad this finally happened.
Common sense, little improvement.
Yeah, quality of life. I mean, honestly, it's Siri is kind of the biggest thing. And then there's just a bunch of little stuff. Like we've already talked about the reminder stuff. I think it's worked really well. The one thing I will say about the natural language, why does it work really well in reminders, but not quite the same in calendar? So like if I said a specific date, like remind me to do something, blah, 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 on July 14th, it'll in reminders make it July 14th, but in calendar, it's still whatever day you're in. It will not, it'll like, you have to click on the Apple intelligence thing, it should just automatically do that. And I'm guessing that's coming. I don't think it's a bug. I just feel like it's not there yet.
I think it's just because the calendar app has a lot more data to fill out. Yeah. And also that is using often third-party services. You're using stuff like Google Calendar, whatever it may be. And I feel like the infrastructure is a lot older, but I agree with you. It's definitely better than it was, but is it still totally dependable? No, and actually, I manage my calendar using Claude because I tend to have, so for example, the trip I'm going on next week to the US, there's a big itinerary for that trip, lots of different locations and places. I've received a lot of information from different emails. I put all of that into Claude, and then Claude was able to populate that across several different calendars, and it did it perfectly. I would not be able to do that with natural language Siri, and I would certainly not trust Siri AI to do that either. Even though it's getting there and it's better than it was. I mean, in iOS 26, if you want to put a calendar entry in, you were very limited with doing that through Siri, and there was no natural language ability to just type that in. I don't know, you need to put an appointment in very quickly. So better than it was, But yeah. Is it as good as the competitors? Not yet. I think that's kind of my overall message here.
Sure. Even the calendar entry through Visual Intelligence has gotten better. Now you can like scan an entire list of events, and it does a really good job of breaking those out. And now you can add in multiple events, which is pretty nice. I've tested that with like a fake baseball schedule that I made, because that was a scenario in my mind where I'm like, man, this would have been helpful a couple months ago when my kids started, and I got like the email list of everything. I could have just been like, hey, add all of these to my calendar. There was one other thing that I wanted to mention. It was, Image Playground. Image Playground's gotten a lot better too. A little more useful, at least up there with like ChatGPT image creation. So
it is a lot better. And for the kind of things that I was using it for before, which was, I don't know, to create stupid things and to generate stuff for like Apple invites, I would still do that in Image Playground, but I have to be honest that the vast majority of my image creation still is going through ChatGPT. It is not, it's just not anywhere near as good as these other services in Image Playground. Better than it was, still not quite as good. And I would really appreciate it if I could actually plug in ChatGPT's latest image models and Gemini's latest image models and use it as a hub to access just image generation capability at all. At that point, I would use that, especially if I could have some presets for different aspect ratios. At that point, it becomes more of a production tool and something that's actually really useful. It is a playground. It is just a kind of fun thing. Like it's
in the name.
Yeah, it's not the same thing as what you're able to do with other services yet.
Yeah, I agree. Would love to hear everybody's thoughts though, so let us know. Comments, podcast at macrumors.com. Hit us up via email if you'd like to. Let me know your favorite features. I've had a lot of people message me over the last week asking me if it's safe to run on your main phone. I mean, yes, but make sure you back up via iCloud, and you will need to rewipe your device if you decide you don't like it and you want to drop back down. So just keep those things in mind. It's not as hard as it used to be. I think you would be able to stick it out for 2 months to make it to the official release. So it's fine. But if you end up hating it, I don't know what to tell you. But if you have an extra phone, then do it on there first and see what you think. But would love to hear everybody's thoughts. And we'll catch everybody in next week's episode.